Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk, The Connection. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I am your host, Evans Zininga. Today we are discussing business programs benefiting young people in Zimbabwe in the backdrop of graduations last weekend in the Academy for Women Entrepreneurs program sponsored by the United States Embassy in Zimbabwe. But first, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency will soon have a new administrator. Former lawmaker Lee Zeldin has been nominated by President-elect Donald Trump for that role. VOA's Veronica Valderas Iglesias looks at Zeldin's credentials and how the agency's priorities are expected to change, particularly when it comes to climate change regulations.
Lee Zeldin is a former four-term Republican congressman from New York State and a longtime supporter of President-elect Donald Trump. Zeldin is poised to become the next administrator of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. The 44-year-old holds a law degree from Albany Law School and served 4 years on active duty in the U.S. Army. He's married and has twin daughters. In a statement released on November 11th, Trump announced Zeldin's nomination, saying the former congressman will, quote, unleash the power of American businesses while at the same time maintaining the highest environmental standards. Zeldin told Fox News he's excited to implement Trump's economic agenda.
There are regulations that the left wing of this country have been advocating through regulatory power that ends up causing businesses to go in the wrong direction.
Under Democratic President Joe Biden's administration, the EPA has prioritized the production of clean and renewable power and put restrictions on oil and gas production in a bid to curb toxic emissions and fight climate change. President-elect Trump envisions a different formula.
We will blast through every bureaucratic hurdle to issue rapid approvals for new drilling, new pipelines, new refineries, new power plants, new electric plants, and reactors of all types.
Zeldin voiced similar positions when he unsuccessfully ran for governor of New York in 2022.
We should reverse the state's ban on the safe extraction of natural gas and approve new pipeline applications.
Zeldin's nomination comes as the United Nations renewed its call on countries to move away from fossil fuels to combat global warming.
The sound you hear is the ticking clock. We are in the final countdown to limit global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees Celsius. And time is not on our side.
Even as climate change regulations are expected to be scaled back at the federal level under Zeldin's leadership, analysts note that currently states can choose to enact their own regulations.
And what?
And consumers can individually opt for green solutions. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News.
Now let's take a look at what happened last weekend in Zimbabwe. 70 of 104 students graduated in the Academy for Women Entrepreneurs program sponsored by the United States Embassy in Zimbabwe. Each student is enrolled in the program for 1 year. The aim of the program is to capacitate women with business skills, especially in nurturing small enterprises. The Zimbabwean government has praised the United States Embassy for supporting such programs designed to boost women's business and national development. U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe, Pamela Tremont, attended the recent graduation in Harare, and here is what she said to the graduates.
As many of you know, AWE is more than just a one-time program for business women. It provides a network to support women to thrive in the formal and informal economy. It facilitates growth of innovative business, and it will soon launch an association for the over 400 Awe entrepreneurs who have completed the program in Zimbabwe and who see the value in continuing to support and learn from one another. Each of you has worked to make your dreams a reality. The success of this dream is a victory for you, but also for your families, your communities, and for Zimbabwe's economy, as more and more of you develop businesses that respond to local needs. The U.S. Embassy supports women entrepreneurs in Zimbabwe, both to broaden equitable access to opportunities and to facilitate economic growth. Awe is just one of many programs to strengthen business skills so entrepreneurs like you are more competitive, perform better, and create networks that build an economy that works for everyone. Because of your participation in Awe, we anticipate you will have increased income, create jobs for your communities, and grow, as we have seen from so many other participants of the program. As you move forward, remember that Zimbabwe's business community needs your creativity, your leadership, and your vision.
That was U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe, Pamela Tremont, speaking at a graduation ceremony of 70 students over the weekend. Mrs. Tuvehile Ndlovu, a leader of the Academy for Women Entrepreneurs program in Zimbabwe, who is also the leader of PERS on Point, which is implementing the implementing agent of the program, says other women should also participate in these programs.
Basically, this program is an initiative that empowers women with the practical tools, networks, and skills to start, grow, and scale their businesses. So far in Zimbabwe, we've trained over 400 women since the inception of the program, and it's a very highly impactful program. People who have gone through our program, most of them, over 75% actually increase their income. They also increase the number of people that they employ. They also increase in terms of profitability, in terms of the size of the enterprise. Some actually even graduate and they become corporate, you know, from being SMEs or MSMEs, which is a very big thing, you know, for Awe. I would like to encourage all the other ladies out there who may want to apply for this program to say this is a very brilliant program to start off. We are taking ladies above 18 years old. We don't have an age cap in Zimbabwe, so you can apply as long as you're above 18. But it's a highly competitive program. This year we had over 980 applications, and we only accepted 105 applications across the whole of Zimbabwe. So it's highly competitive, but it's worth it. If you make it, it's a game changer. Thank you.
That was Mrs. Tuvehile Ndlovu, the leader of the IWE program in Zimbabwe. She's also the organizer of the PERS on Point. She was speaking to VOA's Tobias Mudzingwa at the graduation ceremony. Secretary of the Women's Affairs Ministry, Mrs. Mavis Sibanda, also praised the U.S. government for supporting women's programs. Asizweni ukuthi uthini ngalolu daba.
Training le ifundisa omama ukuba ngosomabhizinisi ukuthi belungise befundele ukurana amabhizinisi abo professional ngendlela efaneleyo. So ngiyakujabulela kakhulu ngoba nxa ungafundisa umama ufundise isizwe. Omama bengafunda bakwanisa ukuthi amabhizinisi abo ahambe ngendlela efaneleyo. Khangela lapha esikhona John ungakhangela nje ukuthi ifay le ekhona thina njengeministry siyayikhuthaza kakhulu ukuthi omama izinto abazenzayo bezitshengisele kwabanye abantu. Nxa betshengisa kutsho ukuthi na siyakwanisa ukuthenga nami ngibe kwazi ukuthi na lokhu kuleento ezinje abantu bethengise siyaba-expose kuma-market. Thina njengeministry asi-expose khonapho kuphela. Esikwenzayo ukuthi nxa kulamafezi njenge-trade fair siyababhadalela omama laba abangakakwanisiwe abancane sibhadale
That was Mavis Estibanda, Secretary of the Women's Affairs Ministry. Abe Ukuluma, Studio 7. Let's take a short break on that note. Please stay tuned. We will be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Debele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. And to discuss the youth empowerment programs in Zimbabwe, we are now joined by a graduate from the Academy for Women Entrepreneurs program, a clothing designer by profession and founder of Udumo Hub, Immaculate Dumo Kwashira. Miss Kwashira, welcome to Live Talk.
Thank you so much, Evan. How are you?
Very well. It's a beautiful day to have the honor to host you on this show today. We are also hoping to bring in another youth advocate from the school Safety Zone Zimbabwe. We hope they will join us in a moment. But let's kick off the discussion for the day. Let's get a little bit about who you are. Tell us a little bit about yourself before we jump into bigger things.
So as you guys have heard, my name is Immaculate Dumo Kwashira. I was raised in Bulawayo. I was raised by two entrepreneurs. My mom was self-employed being a dressmaker, and my dad was also self-employed. He was into engineering. So from a tender age, I actually experienced the power of being passionate and hard work. And that really inspired and it shaped me to be the person I am today. To go after my dreams and to, you know, to be persistent and to never give up.
A very interesting snap into your life there. We will come back to you in a moment. Our second guest has just joined us, Mr. Makio Mapfumo. He's a youth advocate from a long time ago. We've had him on the shows before. Mr. Mapfumo, hello to you. Welcome to Live Talk.
Yes, good evening. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Right. Mr. Mapfumo, what is it that you do for a living? Let's start from there.
Okay. So basically, I'm involved into road safety activities. I'm a child road safety expert. I specialize in designing and implementing safe school zones around schools, just making sure that kids are safe whenever they travel to school, and also pushing for the 30-kilometer speed limit around all schools in Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting there. You work with young people a lot. You work with even school kids as well. We will come back and pick it from there. Let me move to Ms. Kwashira. Now, we are watching here clips from the graduation over the weekend, and we want to believe you also graduated over the weekend in this program. How was your journey in the Academy for Women Entrepreneurs?
Thank you. My journey in the Academy for Women Entrepreneurs was a mixed bag, if I might say. I not only did I learn the business aspect but, you know, the power of women coming together as a strong force with different personalities that you learn, you interact from and share what other women are going through and what they're doing, the mistakes they are making in their businesses, the challenges they are facing. And it also does help you to know that these are the challenges that lie ahead and how do I face them and overcome them. So also our classes became a safe space for us, like we could be vulnerable with ourselves. You know, in women in business, we go through a lot, from running homes, running businesses. And we're human beings at the end of it all. We go through a lot of stress. We go through a lot of ups and downs. And you need a safe space where you can be vulnerable and find yourself being supported to say, you can do it. Get your head back in the game. Keep running. Stay the course. Don't give up.
Hmm. And to you, Mr. Mapfumo, why would you push yourself to say, I would like to go and get a qualification when you're already in business, when you're already an entrepreneur, doing well in what you do? We've seen your advocacy work and all that. What pushed you to say, I would like to go and get a qualification?
Okay, I think maybe one of the key issues that I managed to look at is how to improve on sustainability and continuity. As we understand that most of the institutions in the U.S., they are always researching and they are always up to date with investigations as to different topics that you might be interested in. So I saw that as an opportunity that can actually benefit me sustainably in the long term, and also the continuity of these projects. You know that they are always there, they are always there. And so pursuing these activities can actually benefit your personal development. And as you come back to Zimbabwe and you try to implement some of these ideas, you can actually see that you are above the crop. Let's say you are dealing maybe with a team of 20 or 30, you can actually see that the way you are actively participating, or the way that you are actually engaged in some of the activities that you are doing, you are actually maybe 4 or 5 steps ahead because of the way that you are cultivating yourself through these opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me come back to you, Ms. Kwashira. As a young woman in business, do you feel the playground is equal for the young woman in business and the young men in business from family perspectives and society perspectives in Zimbabwe today?
I feel that we are in the process of shifting our mindset. Though there is still a long way to go, because the girl child is given the bigger assignments in terms of chores, and you grow up into being a wife, a mother, you carry those chores into your life. I'll give a perfect example. If you are a mother, a wife, you wake up earlier and you get the kids ready for school. You make sure that even your husband has had a meal, their clothes are ready, and when your husband wakes up, he's just on track, he gets what he needs to do, and he's on the track to do what he wants to do. But you are already 3 hours into the shift, and your energy levels, you've exhausted a certain part of your energy that is allocated for the day. And you still have to start together from 8 to 5. And after the 8 to 5, you come back home, you come back to those chores again, up until maybe 10, 11 at night. So I feel that, yes, we have a society of men who appreciate that women, we've got a lot on our plate. You find our husbands, they're supportive, like doing the chores, helping the kids with assignments. But there's still a group of those who haven't really been up to speed, or who haven't changed their perceptions when it comes to males and females in the business environment. And also you find that there are certain people who think that being a woman, you are the lower or the minor or the weaker sex in the community, or you're not capable to do certain things simply because you are female. And it will take a lot of resilience from the female side And I feel that as females, we have to prove ourselves more than men have to. Because if the society has got a readily rolled out red carpet for the men, and we men, we have to come then, present ourselves, justify ourselves, defend ourselves, and, you know, it will take a lot, but I'm happy that there are women out there who are already doing it and showing us that we can and it's possible.
Mm. That's quite an analogy there. Mr. Mapfumo, would you like to say something against that? She feels men, the young men in business today, has it easier than the female entrepreneur in Zimbabwe. What's your take on that?
Yes, I think that's a positive notion indeed, as clearly as how she has actually brought it up. And if you're looking at such opportunities, looking at developing countries like here in Zimbabwe, you find that for us men, it's actually easier, you know, to get into these opportunities, and we are always linking up, we are always sharing these opportunities, we are always giving each other these opportunities. But for women now, they have got a lot of things that could cool them down. You're looking at the issue of stereotyping. We're also looking at the issue of supporting within the family structure. Some of these husbands, let me call them these husbands, they are not actually open up to the idea of a woman being more empowered than them. So you find that most husbands, they actually say, no, I'll actually do all the work, and the wife has to stay at home and look after the kids and look after the home, and I have to bring everything month end. And so even if a woman says, ah, but I'd like to go to school, you know, just to upgrade myself, in the end, that means you are no longer there, I can continue with the family. But you still have those structures of such families who are not really keen in empowering women. But I'm actually happy that you can actually see that in some of these opportunities that are coming in, you can actually see how women are actively participating. I think, you know, the recent article from the U.S. Embassy, where we have that lady from Central Michigan University, remember. That's actually an opportunity, you know, that actually inspires other ladies to say, if other women are actually doing it, then we can also do it. We also have those opportunities, like from the Fulbright programs, the Young African Leaders Initiative. You can actually see that the women are actually taking up those opportunities, and they're actually breaking the social norms that have been there.
Mm-hmm. We hear you there. Now, back to you, Ms. Kwashira. Let's go back to the Academy for Women's Entrepreneurship Program. The impact of the program in the country as you see it, looking at how you have benefited from it and how it has added value to your own business, what can you say about that whole process?
All right, from the Academy, we really had a lot. I can actually write a book about this.
That's interesting.
But I'll just to a few points. Point number one, we have learned to embrace technology and use technology to our advantage. And I'll add on to the previous point of saying that women in business, we sort of have a little bit of a disadvantage. But with our, we have realized that we can use technology to our advantage in terms of you can actually use software to work even from home. You don't really need to be in the office. You can actually delegate. You can actually set timers to say, we are uploading this. We are setting this for that time. You've got reminders and all those things, which makes your work easier. And you find yourself that you can even be working while you're sleeping. And then I've also learned that we need to put systems in our businesses so that the business is able to run itself without me being there physically. Mm-hmm. And then we have also networked, you know, we have women in different industries, the engineering, the mining sector, the farming sector, service providers, and we have exchanged services and products. We are now customers to one another. We are now service providers to one another. We have actually built a community, hey? And we have also learned that our businesses must have an impact on the environment and impact on the society. So we have had to sit down and ask ourselves, why are we even in business? Why am I doing this? And how is it benefiting the society? How is it benefiting the next generation? actually, why am I even in business? Is this for a long term? Is this a short-term project? Is this a legacy to hand over to the generations and the generations to come? Mm. So I'm happy for this time and opportunity that we had, you know. It has opened up our minds. We have actually managed to have our vision clear and, you know, our business plan. Most of us are just running businesses without a business plan, and that is a recipe for disaster. But trust me, right now, everyone who graduated on Saturday has a business plan. Promise you that come and interview us next year this time around. We will be giving you reports on what we have achieved. And I do pray that you do a follow-up interview to everyone who graduated this weekend.
Is that a challenge, Miss Kashira?
Yes, a challenge. I'm challenging you.
Challenge accepted, right? Let's go back to Mr. Mafumo. I've got an interesting question for you, sir. Did you ever feel at some point that you wanted to go and look for a job or go abroad for greener pastures and forget about your organization and your entrepreneurship programs in Zimbabwe?
What is the timeline of the question? Is it something current or maybe, let's say, 5 or 10 years back?
Well, let's take it to as back as you would like to take it to.
Okay. It's a tough one, but I would like to say, usually when you get these opportunities for cultural exchange programs in the U.S., by the moment you just sit there and maybe you spend 2 or 3 days in that country, you always have that feeling to say, I just feel like I need to stay here. Because you can now have that comparative disadvantage, especially when you come back to Zimbabwe. You can actually see there's a gap. So, yeah, at some point you develop that attitude to say that I think I really need to relocate. I can maybe improve much better if compared to Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I hear you there. Ms. Kwashira, as we get close to the end of the show today, I know we have so many things to talk about, but ngiyakucela kancane ngamafitshane awulawo amazwi awungasiyela abanye abatsha ngale ndaba yasemabhizimusi eZimbabwe namuhla.
Amazana amafitshane awokugcina ukuthi kumele silungiselele ubunzima and kumele siziqhenye ngokuhlangana lobunzima, sibhekane nabo ngqo. Ngoba akula umuntu oza kuthwala iqhawe engayanga empini. Iqhawe libonakala ngokuphenduka empini liphila. So kubhizinisi lakho kunjalo and yikuqinisela, yikubekezela and kumele uqale. Akulasikhathi okuzathwala esiphi esilungile. Khonapho khona njengamanje sukuma uqale. Ungalindeli ukubona indlela yonke.
We have lost Mr. Mafumo. I was hoping to give him a chance as well to say a few words before we close. But we appreciate the both of you, Mr. Makleo Mafumo, for being on the show, as well as Ms. Immaculate for being here on the show again today. To our viewers and our listeners, wherever you are in the world, we appreciate you for following the shows. And this will bring us to the end of the show today. Join us again tomorrow as we continue with Live Talk. Signing off in Washington, D.C., I am Evans Zininga.